You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome into episode 328 of the Source to Say podcast, your go-to Kentucky basketball and recruiting podcast on the growing KSR podcast network. I'm your host, Jack Pilgrim of Kentucky Sports Radio. I don't even know how to put this stuff into words right now. Tyler Thompson joining me tonight. We're going to have kind of a roulette wheel spin of guests, and it's just going to be crazy. But Tyler, you've been here from day one of the John Calipari era. The John Calipari era is officially over. What do you even say? We've been talking about the rumors kind of all day. There was USC buzz. There was Michigan buzz of, is this actually on the table? And then it just felt like the Arkansas buzz just kept building and building and building. And now we're here. John Calipari is the next head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks. How do you feel tonight?
I don't know what to believe. Like, I was literally watching an episode of Vanderpump Rules on the couch when I got a text from you and Zach saying, what do we do about this? And it's, you know, the rumors have begun. And it's complicated, right? Because since Kentucky's loss to Oakland, I think in my mind that night, I thought this was going to happen. It was over. Calipari and Kentucky were done. But the past 2-3 weeks since, it's felt like a backpedaling of sorts. And now, I mean, there's a lot to digest, right? We're going to be digesting it for a long time. Like the smoke and mirrors, the meeting with Mitch, that interview on BBN Tonight, it's a lot. Just to know that behind the scenes, Cal wanted out. And he's going to Arkansas, which is, they play in Rupp Arena next year. I mean, what is that moment going to be like? It's absolutely insane to me. I think I'll leave this episode to you guys. I just wanted to weigh in a little bit. Like, in my mind, there are like several scenarios in which this could have happened. One, Cal truly didn't understand how bad the backlash was from fans, right? Until now. And so therefore, he either, one, wanted to get out before it got so toxic, things were just miserable. Two, he wanted to do right by his word and say, hey, when this job is done with me, when the fans want me to leave, I'm gone. Or three, and this is not even a scenario anymore because it's happening, this was like a, you know, damage control kind of thing. Like, if I say I'm leaving, maybe you guys will think, well, look at what we would be missing. But that's not even on the table anymore. This is happening. And I don't know. I'm really conflicted about it. As certain as I was 3 weeks ago that this is what needed to happen, a separation was the best case scenario, it's still really weird. I mean, Cal he brought this program back to the highest of highs. There's so many awesome, wonderful memories. I mean, for all three of us, really, we probably have livelihoods in part because of him. And we can cover, you know, do what we love because of him. And now he's gone. And not only is he gone, he's going to be on an opposing sideline next year and taking his entire team with him. You all will get into the minutia of that. It's odd. But yeah, I think a separation in the end is what was best. Clearly he thought so too. Although we heard that he didn't think so for a long time. It's a lot to process. So I'm still unpacking it here, but yeah.
So now we have to get to the point of what's next and like all the dream scenarios of who it would be and okay, how does Mitch lean? Mitch kind of has a certain personality. Would he go a certain direction? Is there something that you are looking for personally? Again, everything was kind of a dream scenario up to this point, but now that it's a real scenario, mm-hmm. What's your first gut? Who is Mitch Barnhart's first call if you are in control of his phone?
If I'm in control of his phone, it's Nate Oates. I mean, I think Oates has proved he went to the Final Four. He's not just a flash in the pan kind of thing. Like, he has results that he can, like, look at, point at. It's a proven system. He's getting recruits. He's doing it. Whether or not Mitch does that, I think, is a different question. I mean, I think Scott Drew has been the biggest name all along that Mitch would immediately go to, right? But I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. I think there are always those, like, dream hires, right? Dan Hurley, you know, Billy Donovan. Like, he would – I don't think Billy Donovan would consider coming back to coach a college team, but you never know. I mean, I guess you got to make that phone call. But it's going to be interesting, but my first call would be Nate Oates.
What is your favorite John Calipari memory now that 15 years are officially in the books? There have been so many highs, obviously some lows as well, but we're not going to kick him out with anger and
viciousness
and all that. What is with so many highs, what is your favorite of the bunch?
I mean, I think his love for the players is his legacy, and the fact that he put their needs and wants in front of his own and in front of the program's own in some cases. And I'll never forget just seeing him so happy, whether it be the 2012 national championship or so many Final Fours, just standing there among, you know, alongside his former players, or his Hall of Fame induction, you know, when he had all the players come up on the stage with him. Like, that's what I want to remember Cal for. And that's personally what I will remember him for. I really hope BBM will do that. I know it's going to be kind of an ugly – the streets are going to be ugly for a few weeks, I would say maybe even months. But I hope people remember the good parts of Cal, and 15 years is a long time to do anything, right? And Cal himself said it's a 10-year job, and I hate that it's ending like this. And, you know, like on a Sunday night on Twitter, and, you know, it's just wild. Like, we all knew that the breakup would be messy, probably. Hopefully we're getting ahead of, if he had stayed, it could have gotten even messier. I think next year would have been really toxic. I think the margin for success for that team, no matter how good they were, would be very small. Like, it could be, you know, a team that maybe on paper isn't as talented as this past year's, but the fans would be really, really upset no matter what they did. So Cal getting ahead of it in that sense, maybe it's best for all parties to just say bye.
It's hard to come up with words right now.
I know. Just
never thought this reality would be a thing, especially now. I'm still processing it right now. We have a lot to kind of dig into and just let marinate a little bit. This is just kind of like our literal rapid reaction as this is all unfolding. Tyler, anything that you want to get off your chest, any hot takes, anything that you want to go, that you want to get off?
Like, I will say, like, the past couple days, as last week progressed and you had the Mitch and Cal meeting and the Mitch and Cal interview, and it seemed like we were, you know, we had Cal for another year at least, if probably more, it seemed like at the time. I reflected on the article I wrote, the column I wrote the morning after Kentucky's loss, where I said, you know, all good things must come to an end, even John Calipari in Kentucky. And, you know, it's revisionist history, but part of me was like, I can't, you know, it's wild that I wrote that 2.5 weeks ago or whatever. And part of me was like, do I regret any of it? And no, I don't. I mean, I think that all relationships have to come to an end at some point. And I hate the way that this has ended, but it could have been worse. If he stayed another year or two or three, it could be a lot worse. So I just hope fans think about the good times, and I hope it doesn't get too ugly. I think the Kentucky women's basketball coaching search has proved that a breath of fresh air is needed, and it can reinvigorate everybody from fans to boosters. It will be needed across the entire Big Blue Nation. So that's what I'm thinking of tonight.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's been awesome to follow along with the women's basketball program and just kind of feel the best version of this fan base. And, like, we can rally behind fun and exciting things. And there is a a pocket of this fan base that has kind of been just silent for a long time that we've been waiting for to just because we haven't had the reason to kind of unleash with full force the way that that side of things has allowed. So I'm excited to see what that feels like. I'm excited to kind of get just the fresh start of this and say, okay, I know it's a scary kind of unprecedented time. You're, you know, no longer with a Hall of Fame coach. What does the next look like? Now we have to kind of have a coaching search and get to the bottom of the nitty gritty with all of that. But there is an excitement with some of that. And I think that's something that I hope Kentucky fans can appreciate the past and know just the big picture, what the John Calipari era meant, while also kind of just appreciating what could be on the horizon and not, you know, kind of shortchanging what this program means. And again, this is always Kentucky basketball. Kentucky basketball has always been, I think at times has been kind of flip-flopped in John Calipari's mind that this program is bigger than John Calipari. We need to remember that, not shortchange ourselves in terms of who we should dream big about and what the next looks like. Just because we lose a Hall of Fame coach doesn't mean we settle for Chris Holtmann.
I will point out, like, Cal has said that himself. Like, when he took this job, and he said it multiple times since then, the program existed before him, the program existed, you know, during him and after him. And I would hope that hopefully this separation doesn't get too ugly, because I truly do believe, no matter the, you know, disappointments of the past several years, that he really does believe that he thinks the program is bigger than himself. And I hope that people keep that in mind.
Well,
I'll leave it to you guys, because there's a lot about what comes next. Like, what does the team look like?
That's a great question.
Are they going to be wearing Arkansas maroon and white? Like, kind of? I don't know. I'll leave it to you guys, the heavy lifting there. But I just kind of wanted to pop in and share my reactions, because my husband went to bed before all this started. So I literally have no one to talk to about it. So.
Well, it's fun. We appreciate you hopping on, Tyler, because we have experienced all this, these feelings and emotions together anyway. So we might as well just project out into the ether, the BBN ether. So it's been a blast. We appreciate you coming on. And we know we have a lot to talk about here in the next minutes, hours, days, weeks. It's going to be the most interesting offseason we have had together as coworkers. So
I know I'm going to go rewrite that morning post that I wrote this afternoon. That'll be fun. Yeah.
I will see you on the other side, Tyler.
All right. Bye, guys.
See you. I've not even done a mic check. Can you hear me?
I hear you great, buddy. I can't believe that we are doing this. This is just just something that we have thought and felt and knew that if this season unfolds the way that it was going to, this was always on the table. There were the rumblings from the beginning of this season that this was kind of a make or break season for John Calipari, and whether he wanted to believe it, whether Mitch Barnhart wanted to believe it, whether the people around the program underneath John Calipari wanted to believe it, that was always the case. And even after the loss, even through the PR, you know, excitement of, I don't know if excitement's even the right word for that, but just, you know, the PR push for everything's fine around here, there's nothing to see, it always felt fake. It always felt ingenuine. And now we get the real feelings to come out that John Calipari was unhappy and felt, finally, my understanding that he felt the pressure and the unhappiness. Like I got several texts in the last 24, 48 hours that indicated it's kind of finally settling in that Cal knows how pissed off these fans are, that there was kind of a brief period, like a week period afterward, through the Mitch meeting, through the radio interview, through the BBN Tonight thing, that it never even hit Cal that these fans are not just mad or frustrated. They're turned off completely. They are done. And I don't think that realization ever hit until recently. And, you know, the USC job opened up, the Michigan job opened up. I was told that conversations did happen with the USC job, and he was listening in something that he was loosely interested in. But when the Arkansas job opened, I think that kind of realistic realization of maybe it's time for a fresh start from both sides finally set in. And now, as fast as this thing moved, I mean, I heard rumors of this 48 hours ago of, hey, this might be something to monitor, to 24 hours ago, this might be something pretty serious, to tonight, it's a done deal, 5-year deal with John Calipari and the Arkansas Razorbacks. I can't believe how fast this unfolded, but here we are. Change is coming for the Kentucky Wildcats.
It is. And, you know, I tweeted some stuff out in the last hour or so about it. And to me, Jack, it goes back to everything that I said 2 weeks ago. I didn't see how the two could move forward together. And then we had an episode a week ago. We had an episode just a few days ago talking about how we had to, because that was the way it was. There was nothing any of us could do. It didn't change my thoughts on whether or not it should happen or not, because I still was in the belief that it needed to happen. Now that we're here, I just think that it would have been so toxic moving forward that I don't think anyone was going to be happy. Cal wasn't going to be happy. The fan base wasn't going to be happy. No one involved with this program was going to be happy. The only way to get over that was to get to the Final Four. And I just didn't know if that was going to be possible with the group coming in. I shared my thoughts earlier in the week. This isn't a great class that was walking through the door. What they had this year was significantly better, top to bottom. Now a couple of things have happened, though. I don't know where they go. I think Tyler's right. Nate Oates is certainly on the list. If he wasn't 2 weeks ago, he is now, because he's checked off a box that I think that you look for in hiring for this job. Have you made it to the final weekend of the NCAA tournament? And he's done it at a program like Alabama, Jack, that has not had that storied history. So that instantly changes things. So if there's any, if it ends up being Oates, and it may not be, it could be someone else, of course, but let's say that it ends up being Nate Oates. These 2 weeks waiting for this, had this happened 2 weeks ago, he's probably not getting the phone call. So if anything comes out of that 2 week period of waiting, maybe that's what it is. Is it Scott Drew? Do they take a chance on Hurley? I mean, if he goes and wins a national championship tomorrow night, I think you at least give a phone call and talk to the guy that's won back-to-back national championships. But I still think that Oates is certainly on that list. To me, the style of play, you need a guy that is modernized, and I think you get it in him. And I think there's a lot of guys out there that you can get that from. But the main talk right now is, how did we get here? I never dreams would have ever thought that the separation between Kentucky and John Calipari would be Arkansas. And I think the longer it went at Kentucky, I thought that it was more than likely he would just retire here. But the last 4 to 5 years, Jack, our biggest thing is, did he truly understand how bad it was getting? And I don't think he did until the last couple of weeks. And even in the conversation with Mitch, it was a lot to kind of just stomach and kind of just process that, what are we really going to change? What is going to be different? And I just think that we got to a point where there just needed to be new life in the program. I said it about an hour ago, this program is bigger than one person. It always has been. It always will be. Let's say Kentucky makes a bad hire and it doesn't work out. Still bigger than that one person. But I trust the history of this program and the number of coaches that have won national championships and gone to Final Fours, that the same trajectory is going to play out. Whoever the next guy is will enter this program with a slate that can win national championships and get to the Final Four. History has proven that, and I think it will continue to do so regardless of who it is.
Let's ruffle some feathers for the listeners that we have here tonight at 12:15 a.m. This is a record. I mean, the numbers are just absolutely ridiculous, and it's time to capitalize on that.
I was at a WrestleMania party, by the way, and I had to rush home. So I did not expect this.
I was watching American Idol. I was watching, my wife and I had just watched a rom-com movie. We were just sitting there at work. I had the night shift. So I was just kind of hanging out, and then just all hell broke loose. So I was not expecting these conversations to happen. It's been a lot. I want to make it very clear, and I hope if Mitch Barnhart, you're listening, it's been made aware to me that Dan Hurley is somebody who would listen if the phone call rang from the University of Kentucky. And I know the first instinct is going to play it safe and go to the Scott Drews, the guys that you have kind of had as your guys for several years. I know Scott Drews a layup. I know there are some guys that you know you can get. Mitch, I'm begging this job, now that you don't have the $33 million financial hamstring on your back, understand that you have as much flexibility and freedom as you could possibly dream of for the top job in college basketball. Don't shortchange this program by thinking that you have to go Scott Drew, that you have to go with your close-knit circle of guys that you are in regular contact with. Dan Hurley will listen. If you're a Kentucky fan, you are rooting for UConn tomorrow in the national championship game, because Dan Hurley is Rick Pitino of the 90s, a guy that is always looking for the next, always wanting the best and the bigger and he wants to be the king of college basketball. He wants to be the king of basketball. There's rumors that he wants to be the next leader of the New York Knicks. Bring the New York Knicks into the next level of the NBA and lead them to, you know, kind of what their fans have been dreaming of for years and years and years. That's a call worth making. Nate Oates is a call worth making. I understand the $18 million buyout with the contract renegotiation that he just had. I know that's scary, but you do not have the $33 million kind of weighing you down like a backpack. Go make the call. Billy Donovan will listen to your phone call if you just reach out. Be patient with this. This is not firing John Calipari in the pressure that is on your shoulders with a decision of that magnitude. Now that he has done that for you by leaving this program and ridding you of the $33 million weight on your shoulders, now know that you can have financial flexibility. And again, boosters and donors and people and friends of the program that were no longer friends of John Calipari that might be interested in bringing in a guy that just went back to back in the national championship for national championships at a school like UConn. For a guy like Billy Donovan, who has been the pie in the sky for this program for 20 freaking years. Explore your options, because they're going to listen. This is a job that is worth exploring every single option available to you.
Yeah. You start at the top here. Like you start at the top and work your way down to who you want. And all those options and all those names that you just said are fantastic options to me. Fantastic hires. The one thing about this is we are now, it's Championship Monday in college basketball, and this will be the biggest story. It's not if UConn goes back-to-back in less than 24 hours. It is now, Kentucky is open, John Calipari has left for an SEC job, and the greatest job in college basketball is now vacant. It's open. Like, that's the story today. And if you're Dan Hurley, you're probably wishing this had waited maybe 24 more hours, because there's going to be some names and links and things like that to it. But overall, Jack, this hire needs to be done in a time frame here where you don't rush it, but you got to get something done probably in the next week, because you can't miss out on the portal. A lot of people in my mentions and stuff tonight, like, what does a roster look like when something like this happens? Well, I'll tell you this. I'm glad that this thing lasted as long as it did, because if Cal had left before the transfer portal era, this roster would truly be gutted, and there is no transfer portal 5 years ago to kind of build your roster. You're having to hopefully bring in a recruiting class, and then I don't know what your roster looks like from that point on. But right now, in this climate of basketball, you have coaches that are taking transfer after transfer after transfer and having success immediately, getting deep runs in the NCAA tournament, getting the Final Fours. If you go get a guy like Nate Oates, or you go get a Dan Hurley or someone like that, I'm confident that those guys can bring instant winners to Lexington and put a team on the floor that can be among the top 10, top 15 in college basketball right out of the gate. That doesn't happen 5 years ago in the era that college basketball was as one and done. So I've always thought that getting this far with it, the way the game is now, Kentucky was better built to withstand the blow of losing John Calipari. And if this whole entire recruiting class goes with him, you get whoever's recruiting class you're bringing in. There's your freshman class. You get transfers from the current school possibly that they coach. You get the transfer portal pieces they possibly added and whoever else they add. Like, you're built to withstand coaching changes more now than you were 4 or 5 years ago.
A basketball circle buddy of mine, I before we went live, I asked him to kind of just give me a list of guys that, knowing Mitch Barnhart, how he operates, who his kind of go-to list would be. Scott Drew, Mick Cronin, Tony Bennett, Tommy Lloyd, Mark Pope, Billy Donovan. Tommy Lloyd would probably pique my interest. Scott Drew, if that's option 4, 3 or 4, maybe. Billy Donovan, I could see. Billy Donovan, I've been told that the only hang up with him is money, that he has gotten used to the NBA lifestyle and doesn't necessarily want to get back into the recruiting grind, especially in today's one and done, you know, NIL era of college basketball. He'll do it, but it will come at a cost. That's something to keep in mind, that it's going to be a little bit more expensive to bring in a guy like Billy Donovan. But I've been told that he is interested and would be interested if that were to present itself. But just something to keep in mind, that you could probably get more bang for your buck if you were to look elsewhere. Danny Hurley's contract is not what you guys might think it is. I know in your head you think he would never leave UConn. He hasn't made there. Understand that people are still kind of debating whether or not UConn's even a blue blood in name. In the way he operates, he is a guy that wants to be the best of the best at the best of the best and not making a ton of money doing it right now at UConn. That dude can get swayed with an eight figure contract.
It's one of those things too. Let's say that he gets this thing done. That's a tough task. You know, it's a good Purdue team that he's taking on tomorrow night or tonight. But you go back to back. What more are you going to do? You going to try to win 3 in a row? Because that's tough. I mean, it's already tough to do what he's about to do.
That's the argument.
That is the argument. And here's my thing on Donovan. I love Donovan as a basketball mind. I love the success he had at Florida. I would just feel significantly better now about this hire if it's someone that has navigated the waters that college basketball is currently today. I think you need someone who has had portal success, who can still just kind of occupy a room when he walks in. And guess who does that? Me and you were at Peach Jam. When Hurley walks in with his hat on backwards, he's just got a swag about him and a presence about him that the best have had, and the attention. And I know it was fresh off a national championship, but can you imagine what it's like when he walks in a gym this summer to recruit and the eyes on him? Imagine if you take back-to-back national championships to Kentucky.
That's what he's hungry for.
Yep.
That feeling. He is a blue blood at heart. He is a guy that – He's Rick Pitino of the 90s. He's a guy that wants to get to the peak of where he's at and then prove that he can do it at the next level and then at the next level and then at the next level. That's what's in his DNA. That's what's in his blood. If he goes back to back at a school like UConn, that for my money in the last 25 years, there has not been a better school all around in terms of national title success than UConn. He is going to feel in his gut Man, this has been a blast. I know I have these people wrapped around my finger. But, man, can you imagine a hungry Kentucky fan base that has been that hasn't been to a Final Four in a decade?
Yeah.
Can you imagine if I'm able to get them wrapped around my finger and get them back to the promised land that they've been absolutely begging for and sold on these promises of, well, it hasn't been as bad as you think in your head. Imagine a guy that's going to come in and say, no, it's been as bad as you have thought in your head. I'm going to be the guy to get you to that level again. What does that do to your legacy? What does that do to your coaching status long-term and who you are defining your legacy as an eventual Hall of Famer? That is something that will stick with you. I know UConn's a great job. I know he has that program. You couldn't ask for anything more than what he has done there. But I'm telling you, there are levels to this stuff. And his ultimate level is to be the best of the best at the NBA, New York Knicks, you know, the biggest spotlight under the biggest platform of all time. But Kentucky and the New York Knicks are not on totally separate wavelengths. Like, that's something that you could have a conversation about where he could get comfortable here. And worst case scenario, he comes here, wins a national championship, gets you back to the Final Four, builds these consistent rosters, and then decides to take the next step. Well, in that case, you have another national championship. You have another Final Four. I would take that short-term high if it meant that we have to find a replacement after the fact. Deal with that at a later date. Let's get to get back to the Final Four where we belong in the short term.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. And it's just you tweeted a lot about Dan Hurley and UConn today. And, you know, I chimed in.
It wasn't by accident, Sean.
I know, because I caught on to that when I got three or four tweet notifications in a row from you in about 45 minutes about UConn basketball. So, and then I chimed in on it and was talking that it's the best program of the last 25 years. And it's been the ultimate all or nothing with that program. When they're in the Final Four, they win it, or they lose the first weekend. But when you're talking championships, if they win a 6-1 tomorrow night, that's six since 99. Like, that's the number that we use to measure success in the sport, is national championships. How many have you won? Hurley about to go back-to-back. I mean, you don't want to crown it too soon, but what they have done, the dominance, the winning games by double digits, just covering the spread every single game in the tournament, and in a pressure-packed thing where I personally thought we were in an era where you weren't going to see back-to-back anymore, because rosters just get gutted over and over and over again. But here we are. They're going on a run. We'll see what Kentucky does with this job. But I would say by next weekend, by the end of the week on Friday, I'm hopeful that we're back on here talking about whoever the next head coach at Kentucky is, because I think it needs to be in place by then. That's the time frame that Mitch has been working with. And we said this a few weeks ago. Mitch has had his list of guys. And I think when you lose to Oakland and you have to have a side-by-side meeting with John Calipari, which is now super awkward to look back on, but when you have to have that.
What a waste of time. What a waste of absolute time.
No, and I'm going to say this. Like, we try to navigate things because obviously we're talking to the fans here, and I don't like to be Mr. Negative all the time. I think most people would say that we've been positive a lot. I had zero confidence that this thing was going to get right under John Calipari, Kentucky. None. I had no confidence that it was going to be good. Actually, I thought it was going to be a train wreck. I thought it was going to be horrible, and I thought we were going to be headed for an even messier ending. But you couldn't fire him because the buyout was too steep. Now you don't have that handcuff to you anymore. I always thought, to this point, and I didn't think of this until this year, would he truly leave for another job? We talked about it in the group chat a little bit this spring, but we didn't have Arkansas on the list. That was the one that I didn't see coming. Maybe Michigan, maybe somewhere like that, but not Arkansas. Here we are, Jack. It's a chance for both people to start over. Y'all can go to Arkansas, start over. It's time for Kentucky to start over too. And this day was coming at some point. but I think that this can be a good thing for both. I think it'd be a great thing for Kentucky because I just feel like now you can enter a new era where the fan base is back in. New, fresh air was needed significantly in this program.
So here's my read on how the, again, it's tough to talk about these things as they're unfolding with the how complicated they are, considering that there was a decision to bring Cal back and the recruits are buying in and you're in the process of trying to recruit guys to the portal. So you're not trying to kind of create a line in the sand type deal where Cal's on his way out or that Mitch doesn't feel great about the long-term trajectory of John Calipari at Kentucky. Like, you don't want to put the program in an awkward spot because, again, we are supporters of the University of Kentucky. I'm not going to just run my mouth and say things that it will lose Jaden Coins, that will lose the next, you know, dream scenario for the transfer portal. Like, trying to work with each other. It's my understanding that Mitch Barnhart saw the $33 million, that they had it, that it was something that they knew if they really, really, truly felt that they had to resort to that, that they would, that they could pull the trigger on that. But Mitch Barnhart, being the leader of 22 varsity sports, wasn't willing to give Cal a pass and say, I'm going to give you $33 million to go away, knowing that that's going to screw over everybody else. But I want you to know that we have it. And there are people around here that gave me this money to have you go away. Like, I want you to understand that you are not bigger than the University of Kentucky. And that was something that was kind of missing with all of this, that it got to the point where Cal was bigger than the program and they kind of had to have that. We love you. We respect what you've been able to do around here, but I don't want you to get it twisted that this decision is because of my loyalty and you to run this back to a Final Four. It's that I signed off on this lifetime contract. Agree with it or not, maybe this was a bad move on my part, but I signed off on this deal and I would be doing everybody else a disservice and screwing them over by giving you a pass for your shortcomings in the last several years. So you now, we made this bed together. Now we have to lay in it together. And John Calipari's ego is something that I think was kind of the missing part of all of this. Is this is a guy that is obsessed with his image, obsessed with how people view him and what his legacy means and all that stuff. And I think there was kind of a secondary factor with Mitch Barnhart of maybe if it's known that this guy is kind of ruining his own legacy here with the constant shortcomings in the Final Four and not, or in just the NCAA tournament, not getting to a Final Four, does that spark something that maybe he hasn't felt in recent years, or what does that do to him? But at the end of the day, he's going to be the guy that there are going to be butts in seats at Rupp Arena no matter what. Are those butts in seats going to be booing John Calipari for his shortcomings? That was kind of an emotional hedge on Mitch Barnhart's part of, I can't.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live. Only on Netflix.
Screw over. This was something that I did on my own part. I have to own the contract that I signed over. Now it's on the person that I gave it to and the trust that I had in them to make good on it, to live up to that contract. And whether they did it or not, it's going to be his legacy, and he would probably decide his future on that. Look at where we are now. I think he felt that pressure on his shoulder finally to say, I don't think that this is, there's any path for this to result in anything but a toxic relationship from start to finish inside Rupp Arena. I don't think there's a possible scenario where I don't get booed inside Rupp this year. Why not go to somebody that's desperate for immediate success and where there's going to be NIL support, where there's going to be booster and, you know, the different resources that are necessary? Why not give this a shot? It makes sense. It's a fresh start for both sides where Mitch Barnhart can look for who he wants truly in his own gut of who's next. And John Calipari can find a new set of ears to listen to his pitch. It's a good thing for both sides, I think, Sean.
I think so. I think it's really a good thing for Cal. It's a good thing for Kentucky. And I just, once we got late in this past week and there were going to be, it started to look like there were going to be no staff changes. And at first it was going to be staff changes and things and conversations. And once we got to that point, I'm just like, okay, what's going on here? It's been really quiet in the portal, really quiet with decisions. I just didn't know where it was trending. And then when you start seeing the Arkansas stuff pop up, you, in the past, I don't think anybody ever really thought that any of the rumors were really anything to pay attention to, because I don't think any of us ever thought that Cal would leave Kentucky for another college job. At least I didn't until the last year or so. But once it got to the night and you saw some of the reports coming out and who was reporting it, it was clear that this was happening and things. So now that you're here, you navigate it and you figure it out. But I think that this is a day that is needed to happen. And it, when you get to a certain point here and you have that contract, like you've mentioned, I necessarily don't think that that was a wrong thing to do 5 years ago. Like the way Cal was operating, the way college basketball was structured, the one and done era was still going on. He was the best fit for that time. John Calipari is not the best fit for Kentucky in 2024, 2025. I truly believe that. Like this needed to, the change needed to be made. Whatever happens with him at Arkansas, he's going to a program where he is going to rally that fan base. That fan base is going to go crazy for John Calipari. I mean, it's going to be a scene, man. Like,
I'm here to tell you, John Calipari didn't forget how to coach yesterday. This is a guy that still won at Arkansas, still won at Tennessee, still beat North Carolina in the CBS Sports Classic. This is a guy that it's never been for me personally about whether or not he was able to do this at a high level again. That's never been my question. My only concern about the long-term trajectory of him as the head coach of the University of Kentucky was whether or not his messaging would fall upon deaf ears or not. That, again, part of Cal's thing is his pitch and him being able to sell his brand. I think his brand has gone stale at Kentucky. That doesn't make... I don't think he's any worse a coach today than he was yesterday or a month ago or back to 2012 when he won a national championship. I think he still has the same wirings in his brain. I just think that the way he sells his brand to kind of build a product is not translating the way that it used to. And that's why when we got to the point of, do you fire John Calipari or not? It was never about, is there a clear cut upgrade over John Calipari, because I don't think that was ever the question. John Calipari is among the elite of the elite in the sport, and I think that he is going to go to Arkansas and be an amazing coach. I think he's going to win a ton of games there, and it's a great fit. I support John Calipari. I love John Calipari, but it was about finding a new voice and a freshness with this that could sell the product of Kentucky basketball better than the way John Calipari had been doing it. And that was the only thing in question. That's why when Scott Drew came up, I was like, I know fans are kind of hating and looking at the NCAA tournament success. And, you know, he's had some early exits too. And well, how is that any different than here? Understand, you just have to find somebody that has an equal playing field to John Calipari that can just sell their own brand and sell their own pitch to the masses and build a new culture that kind of just gets the momentum back with this program. And I think Scott Drew could do that. This program isn't as limited as I think some fans give it credit for. A lot of people can fill this role and be very, very successful at it. That's something that I think has been missing with the people thinking that John Calipari and Rick Pitino are the only two people that can do this job. I think that's absolute bullshit. I think that there are a lot of people that can do this job, but it just depends on the how you sell your brand and the next level of the pitch itself. I think there are a lot of guys that have it, but now it's on Mitch Barnhart to find that. And I think that's the trickier question.
And that's the thing about this program. When you walk into it, you don't walk into the batter's box. You don't even have the bat in your hand. You're already on base. And now it's just about getting home. And that's the thing about Kentucky that makes it special. And whoever this coach is that comes in here, Jack, it has to be a program first program. I was like, the only way what Cal was doing was working was when there was winning. If you're winning, you can keep sending guys out the door and changing lives. What he did for players here is remarkable. But the program has not been the program for the last 5 years. So then it's not a you scratch my back, I scratch yours anymore. What the model was only going to be successful if Kentucky was winning. And they no longer were winning at the level that Kentucky needs to be winning at. And once that went away, only half of it is benefiting. But it wasn't benefiting as much as what it was. That's when you start having that's when you start needing a change. And I just think that Kentucky was at a point where it needed a change. And now whoever comes in here, it needs to be program first. No one can ever be above this program. Nothing can ever be above this program. Like this program, the foundation was laid decades ago, and it carried over to Joby Hall, Rick Pitino, Tubby Smith, John Calipari, whoever's next, going to leave their mark on this program. And history has showed us, outside of a couple, you're likely going to get to a Final Four, and you're probably going to win a national championship. That is what history has shown us at Kentucky. Now it's about who that guy is and who does it. Did he coach in the Final Four this weekend? We've named a couple of guys there in Nate Oates and Dan Hurley. I don't know. We'll see. But I'm willing to bet by the end of this week, this thing's not going to carry out, Jack. Not in today's climate of college basketball. This thing's not extending weeks. Like, this is something that's going to get done to me relatively quickly. I'm sure Mitch is already probably gathering some type of info and pitch to where he wants to go. Those conversations have to happen pretty quickly in the next day or so.
How much does the financial flexibility now that there isn't a $33 million? Like, again, Nate Oates has an $18 million buyout on his end that I think fans just kind of assumed was a no-go no matter what the case was. Because of the John Calipari dynamic where 33 plus 18, there's no way that the math would work out for that. Now that 33 is a wash, now 18 doesn't seem so far-fetched. All you have to do is get the boosters bought in. And my understanding that there was a pot of money that basically was shut off with under John Calipari where they said, you know what, I'm done selling this. I'm good. And now that there is a new opportunity for somebody different, that is something that they are intrigued by. And I think the obvious names, as we've talked about again with so many people on the show and trying to just kind of keep it fresh, Billy Donovan is a name that's being thrown around. Nate Oates is a name being thrown around. Dan Hurley is somebody that I've heard would be open to listening to John Calipari, to Kentucky, Mitch Barnhart, if that was something that presented itself. And Scott Drew is somebody that has a longstanding relationship with Mitch Barnhart. I think those are probably the core names to keep an eye on. I know some people have thrown around Bruce Pearl as a name. I know he would love the job. The issue is that it's my understanding on the Auburn side that they've kind of expected a couple of year exit strategy on his part, where he wants his son, Stephen Pearl, to be kind of the coach in waiting wherever he goes or stays. He kind of wants it to be at Auburn, if that's the case. It was my understanding at Auburn, he wants a 2-year exit plan with Stephen Pearl as kind of the next man up. Beyond that, I think if he were to go to Kentucky, I think he would have a longer runway to work with. And yeah, I think there would be a re-energization where he'd probably last 5-7 years, but it's still not a long enough runway for me to get too excited about with Bruce Pearl. And you have the coach in waiting thing. And I just don't think that's something that Mitch Barnhart is going to get totally bought in with.
No, I don't either. And I'll say this again too. And I hope that what I'm saying is making sense. I'm actually glad that this wasn't a separation that occurred 2 weeks ago. I just maybe wish that they wouldn't have sat down side by side during an awkward interview where we know that there's been some, you know, friction and things with that relationship, and then pretend to really, really be on board with one another. Like, ugh. You know, I said it that night that obviously it needed to happen, the discussion, but it should have happened forever ago, not under the circumstances that it did. But I'm glad that we've had the 2 weeks, because it's allowed us all to kind of sit back and kind of reevaluate who the possible replacements are. 2 weeks ago, Scott Drew was probably at the top of the list. I'm telling you, Nate Oates getting to the final weekend at Alabama, the moment that they beat Clemson and got to the Final Four, his name was written down on the list. I'm telling you. Like, that's, to me, when I look for who gets hired in this program, I look at, have they won a national championship? They've never hired that. And if it were Scott Drew, you could get that, or Dan Hurley. Get to the final weekend. Get to a Final Four. Have a Final Four appearance on your resume. What Nate Oates has done at Alabama, in a league that he's ran a league that Kentucky used to do. Like, he's done it against Kentucky and other programs in the league. That, to me, puts him on the list. As you mentioned, Hurley, Billy Donovan. I'm interested to see, like, if you don't get any of those three, you know, where do you go? I know Brad Underwood's name and stuff possibly could be thrown around in things. I don't know how much is to that, but I wouldn't be a fan of it. But I, like you said earlier, though, there are guys that would have success in this program. And maybe the window that we're talking about now, I don't think it's going to be a 15-year window for the next guy. Maybe it's 6 years. Maybe it's 7 years. So if you miss on who you want, that's where it gets tricky, that if you don't get your top three, you've really got to – that's when you got to do your homework and your research and then settle in on who the best fit is next in that next tier. I just hope it doesn't have to get to that tier of coaches. I want a guy that I know has proven and has done it and gone somewhere in this thing. And those names that we've mentioned are where I would start. But if you're going to go to a fourth option, Scott Drew would be my fourth.
I would be unbelievably disappointed. And I think the backlash of a Shaka Smart, like that.
That's the next tier I was talking about, is in that pool of guys.
That's not who we are. That's not who Kentucky basketball is. And I'm telling you, for where we've gotten as a program, would be absolutely shameful to even resort to that tier of guys. You better swing for the fences and dream. I mean, you better go get, I mean, you can't, whatever your biggest, wildest dreams are at the very top, start there, start at Red Auerbach, and then go down the list and then figure out from there what the Brad Stevens and the Jay Wrights and all of that stuff. Start from there and work your way down, because if we get to Shaka Smart as a, well, what do we really think about that? Then it's an absolute mistake, because you have been granted an absolute gift from God, handed on a golden platter with a $33 million buyout, no longer hamstringing your program. That is something that has been gifted to you. You now have financial flexibility to get creative with this. Do not settle. Do not make a hire tomorrow because you go, oh my God, I'm worried about the transfer portal. I got, be punctual, but do not rush this decision, because you are the University of Kentucky. Kenny Brooks is a home run hire. That was somebody that people thought, damn, I didn't think there was anybody that thought that Kenny Brooks was a legitimate possibility for this program. That was a guy that led Virginia Tech to a Final Four in 2023. How is that guy making his way here and bringing all of his All-American talent and, you know, five-star recruits and whatever the equivalent of that with the money of this men's basketball program and the booster support? Go get that equivalent. Go get the guy that people say that you can't get. Dan Hurley.
Well, and people, there's going to be a lot of people that are, I've not been able to read the chat and stuff tonight and everybody in the YouTube feed, but I'm sure there's a lot of people and some people that are talking about nobody's going to be on this roster. He's taking his recruiting class with him. There's going to be players from Kentucky that if they decide to play another year of college basketball, they're going to be in Arkansas. It was always going to be like this when he left. Always. The cupboard was going to be bare. It didn't matter if it was today or 5 years from now. It was always going to be this way. The only thing that I'm trying to say now is you can navigate this now where you couldn't have 4 or 5 years ago. 4 or 5 years ago, this program, regardless of who it hired, was probably going to be a year or two rebuild to get where it wanted to be because what were you going to do? It was going to be all freshmen. You're probably going to have to take some lower-end freshmen. You now can build a winner from the portal in 5 to 6 weeks. And if you go get a guy that's proven and done it and built those rosters and taken teams to Final Fours, won national championships that can still go and recruit high school talent, this thing can be flipped and reversed pretty quickly. And I'm confident if they get the right guy in here, that by the time we get to June, we're sitting here talking about a roster that is going to be talked about as one of the best in college basketball. I truly, fully believe that. I want someone that's going to be aggressive in the transfer portal.
Trey Bibby is Biddy of hogsports.com is breaking the news that Brad Calipari is joining John Calipari's staff at Arkansas. So
didn't see that coming.
You know what? We might as well just give up. You know, I don't think that there's any reason to compete in the SEC next year. I think we're kind of toast. So I appreciate all the support over the years. We'll just start supporting Rifle or something.
Can you see John Calipari doing Woo Pig Suey?
No, I can't. I can't believe that this is a real show that we're doing right now. I feel like I'm going to wake up in the morning and go, that was a really weird-ass dream. I can't believe that was something that we actually thought about and did for an hour of our time. But here we are. This is a really, really bizarre time. This fact I want to get your take on because it's absolutely fascinating. At UMass, Trey Mitchell's head coach, McCall, was fired the year after Trey Mitchell left there. Chris Beard was fired at Texas the year after Trey Mitchell got there. Bob Huggins gone the year he transferred from Morgantown. And now Trey Mitchell, the year he leaves, John Calipari is on his way to Fayetteville. Is that not the weirdest string of like four stops? Back to back.
If Trey had any more eligibility, nobody would recruit him.
No shit. I mean,
like, stay away from that guy. No, that is pretty wild, man. But I can't believe we're here. Honestly. Like I had a 40-minute drive home. And I was trying to process, like, even though I thought that we knew that this day was approaching and we thought it could have been 2 weeks ago when they lost to Oakland, it's still sinking in to me that it's actually really happening. And there are a lot of people, probably some people that are in this YouTube stream tonight in the chat that I say are 18, 19, 20 years old and their entire life is John Calipari as the head coach of Kentucky. It's you. So it's probably harder for those people to really grasp it and believe that someone else can come in here and probably be competing to go to Final Fours in a year or so. I've seen it, and I've seen multiple coaches do it. And I think that that trend is going to continue. This program is always going to be greater and bigger than one person. The thing that'll be interesting for me to see is how many of these former Calipari guys continue to come back and things, because obviously that's going to put a little bit of a wedge, but they still played at Kentucky. This fan base adores them. This fan base supports them. But, you know, La Familia and everything, like, that is going to be a little awkward now. So
we have a TBT tournament scheduled to be played in July.
I know. But that's what I'm talking about. This cannot happen again. I feel like so much of this program got branded to John Calipari. That cannot happen again. This cannot be about the coach. This all has to be about the program. For anyone that thought players in the last 14 years committed to Kentucky for Kentucky, you've lost your mind. They committed to Kentucky because of John Calipari. That's not a knock on those guys. They wore the jersey pride, and I know that. They played here and they represented it well. Whoever commits to Kentucky moving forward is committed to Kentucky because of the coach in place. But the program has to always be put first. And if you put the program first, your players are going to be successful and their dreams are going to be reached too. But I don't ever want to hear the gold standard. I don't ever want to hear succeed and proceed. I don't want to hear any of that stuff anymore. New era. You could tell that I've been over it.
Hey, Sean.
I'm glad. How do I really feel, right?
Did Reed Shepherd commit to John Calipari or the University of Kentucky?
He committed to Kentucky.
What does this move do to his decision, if anything?
He might be the only guy left.
So here's my thing. Here's my Travis Perry, I think, is still a pretty –
that's Kentucky commit.
I feel like whoever that is, well, you know, whoever the
replacement
is.
Yeah, I was talking big picture.
For sure.
Numbers.
It was a layup to just bring up how this impacts the stay and go decisions, because as of 48 hours ago, the plan was DJ Wagner's, Big Z, Jordan Burks, maybe Reed Shepherd, probably not, but still something they're monitoring as the guys that would return to Kentucky. Is DJ Wagner returning to Kentucky without John Calipari? No. Is Big Z returning to Kentucky without John Calipari? No, obviously not. We are now officially in the process of a complete roster rebuild and what that looks like and all of that. But what does this do for Reed Shepherd and what his future looks like in Lexington, with the idea of, okay, if you were to bring in, because this idea was passed down to me by somebody pretty prominent in the basketball world, Reed Shepherd wouldn't be totally opposed to a rebirth of Kentucky basketball under who, you know, loves John Calipari, loves the legacy that he had with this season. And, you know, this was kind of just a, like I said, lightning in a bottle. He kind of did everything that he could possibly could this season. But if this kind of out of the world scenario were to unfold, that has actually unfolded now, here we are Sunday night, would it be something he'd be totally opposed to say, you bring in Nate Oates, you bring in Billy Donovan, you bring in Dan Hurley and try to get this program back to the Final Four with a fresh take, a fresh start with whoever that is? What does that do for your legacy? There will be, if Reed Shepherd comes back with Billy Donovan as the head coach, Rick Pitino, all like think of the connections there. Think of the puzzle pieces getting put in place there. There would be a statue built of Reed Shepherd out in front of Rupp Arena, if that were the case. So something, a new interesting dynamic to at least think of that I don't think was even possible 48 hours ago.
No, and I mean, it's dad led a new era of college, of Kentucky basketball with Tubby. So like he navigated the change of Pitino to Tubby. So, I mean, that's there. I mean, so at least there's, you know, some advice and things from Jeff and stuff like that. But that to me would be the first exciting piece to the puzzle. is, and that's in Reed, of all the guys on this roster, Reed's the only one that you got a shot at that with, because he is Kentucky. Like, he committed to Kentucky basketball. Like, given the situation, he would have committed to Kentucky basketball if John Calipari was the head coach, or if I were the head coach, or if you were the head coach. Like, that's Kentucky basketball. That's what Reed Shepherd grew up, you know, watching and idolizing so many, and he wanted to do it. So, no, that would be, to me, if you could give the next head coach at Kentucky Reed Shepherd as a starting piece, then you're probably going to figure it out a lot easier than what you are without him. So, that would be enough to kind of get you off the ground and in the air there. But it's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. And like I said, I'm not setting this for a 2-week thing. Like, I expect this stuff to move pretty quickly. It's Kentucky. The portal's open. The season's over tomorrow. And things really heat up on Tuesday, Jack.
What is your favorite John Calipari memory? What is the one thing that you're going to remember this era by and say, man, I'm glad that we got to experience this together? Because I don't want that to get lost in all of this.
Just
how special John Calipari was here. I know that the frustration was what it was down the stretch, but at its peak, 4 Final Fours in 5 years is something unprecedented in the current college basketball landscape. His highs were better than anything that we could possibly dream of. Him at his peak with the players that he brought in and the constant revolving door, how he managed, you know, just the roster management and, you know, personalities and dynamics was just something that you had to be a part of, that you had to experience, made this program something. Again, there's a reason why John Calipari thought he was bigger than Kentucky basketball for so long, because he was. For that stretch of time, he became something otherworldly here. And that is something I will always respect, always appreciate. I'm so unbelievably grateful for his time here from start to finish, through the highs and lows. But what is the peak? What was the moment where you were like, man, there's nothing cooler than what we're experiencing right now?
Honestly, I go all the way back to the first team. The John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Patrick Patterson group, because if you watched Kentucky basketball the year before in the NIT, you know, I was hanging on the edge of my seat while they're playing Notre Dame and stuff awesome. Like in the NIT. So to see how quickly he was able to change it, and seeing all the talent that was brought in and how quickly they became relevant, and Hubert Davis talking about it was going to be – Kentucky wasn't just going to become a Final Four team overnight or a contender. They're not going to win a national championship in a couple of years. Now they won it in 3 with 2 Final Fours. So I think that first season, the whole season, to me, just stands out. And it's hard to believe that was 15 years ago. That tells you how long this thing got. But that one stands out to me. And I mean, obviously, you could pick anything from the national championship in 2012. The undefeated run, the 38-1 team, that actually became to me an emotional roller coaster, because it became so stressful as it got to the end. But the fact that he nearly called his shot, I think if he had won that game, I don't think he would have been here the next year. That's how crazy this is.
Isn't it kind of crazy to think? Cavaliers with LeBron, the Lakers, the you know, right before the Connecticut championship game.
I still remember being pissed off at Rex Chapman, by the way. Never met Rex Chapman at that point. I was so pissed off at him. I was like, I can't even enjoy this game because I'm so worried about – and I'm not going to lie. I was like, how does Kentucky survive without John Calipari? Because that's the point that we were at in 2014, 10 years ago. But you're right. Out of all those things, now he's at Arkansas,
Bud Walton Arena. Holy cow. The place that he has been such a pain in the ass to him. Isn't it kind of crazy to think that the one place that, you know, he's been thrown out of, the fan animosity and vitriol and all of it. Now he's going to call that home. Isn't that just such a crazy dynamic that Arkansas up again. I heard that USC that he had early conversations with him and it just wasn't the right fit, that Michigan liked him, that he kind of saw the intrigue there and thought that that could be a possible fit with NIL dollars and, you know, the Fab Five, let's kind of, you know, I have my recruits, let's come in and try to recreate that. Like, I'd heard both of those options is like, hey, this is something to at least monitor. And again, the fact that we're here now, that Arkansas is done and that he is now officially a Razorback, we can talk about this stuff and say, this was real. These conversations were real, that this wasn't just blowing smoke. He would never do something like that. Like the people that are just hanging on to the coattails of the staff that continue to put stuff out in that nature. These conversations were happening just like the Aaron Bradshaw to USC rumors were absolutely real. All the stuff that you thought and heard and the speculation, all that stuff, it was real. There was tangible truthness to all of it. Now we have actual evidence of movement. John Calipari is officially heading to Fayetteville. I just never thought I would see the day of the moves. I thought this made the least amount of sense in terms of branding, and like Michigan made sense because it's a football school. He could go there and kind of immediate, you know, he leads Michigan to a Sweet 16 and they go, oh my God, he's our savior. You take USC to an Elite Eight and they treat you like you're the second coming. Like, it made so much sense for the kind of the second tier schools, that maybe football schools or guys that hadn't been in the limelight for a long time, for them to kind of shoot their shot and try to get back into it. But, you know, Arkansas had been to the Elite Eight twice under Eric Musselman. They, you know, twice in 5 years, they had a really nice run with the Must Bus. It just never felt like a real fit because it was just kind of like a second tier SEC school. And now it's reality. It's just bizarre to me.
So just for the conversation here briefly, let's say that they don't get the three or four names that we mentioned. Let's just say that it doesn't work out. Where's Rick Pitino on this list for a 3 to 4 year run?
He's in the conversation. I don't care what Mitch Barnhart says. I know his morals are great. I love all of that, but it's his job now to find a winner of this program. I think that there is pressure on him as well, that I think it's kind of in secondary story with all of this about just how much pressure is on his shoulders now, that people were kind of slowly coming around on the idea of this kind of coming back to him and saying, you were the one that signed off on this lifetime deal, buddy. The $33 million buyout is your fault. It's on you to kind of answer these questions that we have about why we haven't been to a Final Four since 2015, why we haven't been to a second weekend since 2019. So I know that you have your moral loves and guys that you fit your kind of personality types. I don't care. That's not your job to find somebody that fits your personality. It's your job to find somebody that's going to win basketball games for this program and bring this program back to the Final Four where it belongs, that it has not been since 2015. Find the immediate answer, a guy that's going to bring you on a run from day one. I don't care if you think that he might not be the best person, or, oh, he's this. Find somebody that's going to win us basketball games and get us back where we belong, and we'll have that conversation tomorrow or the next day.
Yep, I'm with you. I agree 100%. Win, and win whatever it takes to win, you win.
John Calipari, the head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks, Sean.
I'm going to wake up at some point here in the next, couple hours and probably check my phone to see if this actually happened. I'm going to go to YouTube and make sure that we actually recorded and I didn't dream this.
Oh, man. It's absolute wild. I don't even know where to begin with this. And you know, we've been talking for an hour and 12 minutes, and it feels like we're going to wake up tomorrow. It's going to be a dream. But we're here. It's reality now. Let's just kind of take a deep breath. We're obviously going to be going live very, very often now, probably daily at this point, just because there's going to be a new name thrown out. Hey, let's go live to talk about John, about Kentucky's interest in fill in the blank. We're going to be there at that point moving forward. So let's just be along for the ride. Subscribe to this channel so you know right when we go live, we'll be talking about the latest and greatest with every little detail about this coaching search. I didn't even think that this would be on the table, a coaching search with Kentucky basketball, finding the replacement for John Calipari in Lexington. It's a brand new era that we are about to embark on upon, and we're along for the ride, Sean. It's going to be a blast.
It is, and I think we thought 2 weeks ago we all made it. Cal probably thought he made it, and I mean, he did. He survived, you know, not being fired, but it just goes to show you how quickly things can change in this business, and here we are.
Oh, baby. All right. Well, let's go on and get out of here because it's 1:10 in the morning and there are 5,000 of you, and you guys deserve some rest. It's been a
ridiculous. Is there 5,000 in here?
5,000. Of course there are. Why would there not be? 5,000 is John Calipari's departure. Of course, people are going to want to listen and talk about it. So, yeah, we appreciate each and every one of you guys for joining the show. It's been an absolute blast. I guess not a blast. It's a bittersweet day because we're John Calipari fans here. We respect and appreciate what he has done in Lexington while understanding that it's a business and know that he needs to do what's best for his family and his long-term, reputation, legacy in college basketball as a Hall of Famer. It's a good fresh start for him. It's a good fresh start for the University of Kentucky, yep. Sean. And now it's on us to get to the bottom of who's next and what the future of Kentucky basketball looks like. So, Sean, appreciate you coming on late with us. I apologize for rushing you out of your WrestleMania party, but this is kind of unprecedented times call for unprecedented 1 a.m. shows.
Yeah, I was already complaining last night that the Final Four and first night of WrestleMania were on at the same time. And then tonight, as it all was unfolding, I was like, my goodness, now John Calipari had to ruin WrestleMania. No, I'm wish him well, for sure. And I know me, like Tyler said when she was on here, like a lot of our jobs owe to John Calipari for the fun and all the good times that we have talked about. It's not all been bad. And I'm hopeful at some point we can all kind of step back and truly kind of separate it and appreciate what he did for Kentucky and find the good. But once it got to a certain point, Jack, it just kind of was destined to kind of have the wheels come off, and they certainly came off. But I think this avoids them coming off even more.
Oh boy. Love you, love you, Coach Cal. Appreciate everything that you have done for the University of Kentucky, man. It's been an absolute blast. Appreciate all the fun memories. Appreciate just the crazy ride that it's been from start to finish. We will support you in Fayetteville. Maybe not love you the same way. We hope you lose whenever we face you, especially, and hope whoever the replacement is for you beats you. And finishes farther than you in the NCAA tournament, but got a lot of love for John Calipari and what he's done for this program. So appreciate the ride from start to finish. It's been a crazy show. Appreciate you guys joining us tonight. We will be back maybe tomorrow. Whenever news pops up, we'll be back on this show. This is unprecedented times. We don't know how to react with situations like this. So we will be back sooner rather than later. We appreciate you guys. We will see you next time.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.